This is Al Simpson. Convicted criminals in this country being paid minimum wage for their work in prison? Come on. In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Ted, Senator Harry Reid has called our attention to the outrageous spectacle of courts requiring that prisoners be paid the minimum wage. That's right, even a violent prisoner who scrubs pots and pans or mops the floor can legally be paid the minimum wage. Ted, prison is a place where some pretty tough cookies pay their debt to society, not a place for states and Uncle Sam to continue to build up debt by paying salaries to prisoners, who already get as much as $26,000 a year in some cases if you include all the freebies like free lodging, food, and cable television. We do know that all guilt-ridden liberals love to pamper criminals. The hell with victims, but this is ridiculous. Ted, you're the powerful chairman of the Senate committee that covers this issue. You have in your hands the only pair of scissors that can cut the cord between criminal prison inmates and the Fair Labor Standards Act. Well, Ted, we're waiting to hear your great alibi this trip.
Al, the federal courts are divided over whether the minimum wage applies at all to prisoners. Most courts say it doesn't. In cases where courts have ruled that the minimum wage does apply to prisoners, the judges have emphasized the unfair competition that would otherwise result when low-wage labor or even no-wage labor is used by prison industry programs to compete against outside business. In general, prison work programs are worthwhile. Prison officials want them because inmates have something to do instead of idle time. Work programs give prisoners the opportunity to learn a skill for the first time in their lives. They gain job experience that can help them find honest work when they leave the prison and return to society. But the programs have to be carefully structured so they don't take away jobs from workers outside or drive down their wages. Al Simpson and I want our listeners to suggest topics for Face Off. Just contact the station. I'm Ted Kennedy on the Mutual Broadcasting System.
This is Al Simpson. Gerrymandered congressional districts have nothing to do with the content of their character and everything to do with the color of their skin. In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Ted, gerrymandering is the one process of gimmicking and segregating certain minority groups into one congressional district. But what can happen in this clever and tedious exercise is you wind up with a convoluted thing more in common with a tangled spaghetti noodle than a congressional district. Today, the politically correct term, quotas, even if it means racial segregation, has slithered into the liberal definition of civil rights and is reflected in the way we now draw district lines. Ted, over 100 years ago, Justice Harlan wrote, "Our Constitution is colorblind." A few weeks ago, the Supreme Court renewed that view. Ted, some say that these districts resemble slugs or salamanders. Whether that's true or not, segregation is one slimy way to try to achieve racial equality.
Al, that 5-4 Supreme Court decision in the North Carolina case is far from the last word on gerrymandered congressional districts and minority voting rights. Leave it to the Reagan-Bush Supreme Court to ignore districts drawn up to hurt blacks, and then find something wrong when new districts are drawn up to help blacks. Republicans hardly come with clean hands to racial gerrymandering. Your partisan Republican friends were all for creating urban minority districts to give black voters a majority. That way, you hoped suburban districts would start electing Republicans. As a practical matter, Al, in spite of its odd shape, there were good reasons for that oddly shaped North Carolina district, and the Supreme Court did not outlaw it. Instead, the case goes back to a lower court for more detailed analysis. Inevitably, the Supreme Court will have to rule again, Al, and these fundamental questions about race and voting will be answered more clearly. Al Simpson and I want our listeners to suggest topics for Face Off. Just contact this station. I'm Ted Kennedy on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. Senate hearings begin today on President Clinton's nomination of Ruth Bader Ginsburg to the Supreme Court. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, hearings get underway in the Senate Judiciary Committee today on the nomination of Ruth Ginsburg to the Supreme Court, and the country will get a good look at the remarkable woman President Clinton has nominated. It's the first Supreme Court nomination by a Democrat in 25 years, since President Lyndon Johnson was in the White House. Jimmy Carter served 4 years as president, but he never had the chance to make a Supreme Court appointment. Ruth Ginsburg's outstanding record as law professor, appellate judge, and a brilliant pioneer for women's rights certainly qualifies her for the nation's highest court. No storm clouds have appeared on the horizon so far that could cause any trouble for her nomination. Even you seem to be impressed with Ruth Ginsburg's qualifications, Al. Let's hope your right-wing colleagues in the Senate feel the same way.
Ted, Judge Ginsburg's qualifications are impressive. She is self-reliant and should make a splendid addition to the Supreme Court. But, Ted, you won't have to worry about Republicans copying Democrats and cooking up bogus testimony from hostile witnesses jamming the hearing process. America didn't like it a bit when you Dems were doing it. None of that from us. We'll do it civilly. Many of Judge Ginsburg's writings have been on the issue of gender discrimination. While she and committee members may not see eye to eye on every judicial matter, I'm encouraged by her willingness to listen attentively to the honest concerns of American business on matters of antitrust, contracts, and other vital commercial issues. But most of all, I am pleased with her desire to steer clear of special interest groups always bent on tinkering with our Constitution to meet their own selfish, short-sighted objectives. Ted, the hearings have begun, and we will all watch, listen, and learn more about Judge Ginsburg. That's what hearings are for. Ted Kennedy and I would like to hear your face-off topic idea. Send your suggestion on to this radio station. I'm Al Simpson on the Mutual Broadcasting System.
This is Ted Kennedy. Ineffective rules on workplace health and safety jeopardize thousands of workers every year. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, every year in plants and offices across the country, workers are paying with their health for the right to earn a living. 10,000 workers lose their lives a year from occupational injuries. 60,000 more are permanently disabled. 6 million sustain job-related injuries. That's just accidents, Al. 100,000 Americans die each year from workplace illnesses. The federal agency dealing with these problems has 1,000 inspectors to monitor 4 million workplaces. That's mission impossible, Al. More and more states are adopting a new approach, requiring businesses to create joint management worker teams on health and safety. Businesses instinctively oppose the idea of cooperating with labor, but they quickly come around when the results mean lower costs and fewer worker injuries.
Business opposes cooperating with labor? Come on, Ted, you can't even bring yourself to sit at the same table with a thoughtful businessman or woman. But what's amazing is how you can take numbers from the Bureau of Labor Statistics on workplace deaths, manage to blow them up four times the actual size. Where did you get your numbers, Ted? Jimmy the Greek? If your bill, which would hamstring American businesses with $51 billion in new regs, is so wonderful, then why is it Labor Secretary Robert Reich has not endorsed it? Methinks he knows something you don't, Ted. If you target businesses and other employers with new mandates, you surely must listen to what they have to say. Ted, not one person disputes the importance of securing a safe workplace. But as Secretary Reich himself said, and I quote, "We should not ask employers to undertake efforts that add meaningless paperwork or impose costs that will not produce results." Words to live by, but not by you, right, Ted? Too many evil U.S. companies to destroy and not enough time. Ted Kennedy and I would like to hear your face-off topic idea. Send your suggestion on to this radio station. I'm Al Simpson on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Al Simpson. Can a multilingual America actually survive? In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Ted, the Serbs and Croats and Azerbaijanis and Armenians and the French Canadians and other English-speaking Canadians, India, are all examples of people living under one flag who cannot communicate with each other. The result in each of these sad cases has often been conflict, hate, and disintegration. Today, in many American cities, ethno-linguistic lines already define and divide gangs and ghettos in several areas. Ted, time after time, you have discounted and scoffed, even ridiculed, the importance of English as being an instrument of commonality. But the simple fact is, language and cultural differences isolate so many communities. This isn't Al Simpson talking, this is reality. Ted, we can help to fix this serious problem by focusing our efforts and tax dollars on English language training rather than on separate but equal status for every single language group in America. Are you with me, Ted?
Al, we do need to focus our efforts and tax dollars on English language training. Immigrants and non-English speakers want to learn English to succeed in America. Parents want their children to know English well. Latinos, Asians, and other immigrants fill long waiting lists for adult English classes. The problem is not lack of desire to learn English, but lack of educational resources to teach it. The best way is bilingual education. While students learn English, they also get good instruction in their native language, which increases their achievement in all other subjects. English-only ordinances and workplace rules are counterproductive. That's why Miami recently repealed its divisive English-only ordinance. That was an impressive step towards tolerance, unity, and mutual respect. Forced conformity won't work, Al. Neither will your chip-on-the-shoulder approach. The real threat we face is intolerance, not diversity. Al Simpson and I want our listeners to suggest topics for Face Off. Just contact this station. I'm Ted Kennedy on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. Terrorism is a continuing threat to American citizens here at home. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, the bombing at the World Trade Center last February was a wake-up call about our vulnerability to terrorists on U.S. soil. Recently, effective law enforcement blocked a further attack in New York. The sheikh who may have fomented the plots has been ordered deported. But more steps are needed, stronger laws against guns and explosives, better intelligence activities against terrorists. Make sure good intelligence gets to our embassies abroad before they grant visas. Above all, crack down on abuses that let thousands of illegal aliens land in the United States, make phony asylum claims, and remain at large for years while officials check their claims. You deserve credit for calling attention to these abuses, Al. Last week, the Clinton administration called on Congress to act. Let's close this terrorist loophole before more atrocities occur.
I thank you. You helped, too. I'm pleased and relieved to know that the President and you are both on board to help fix this terrible problem. Does this mean you co-sponsor my bill? Ted, U.S. ports of entry are a mammoth sieve through which millions of aliens pour every year, using false documents or none at all. We know the CIA shooter and three of the four main suspects in the World Trade Center bombing arrived in this country illegally. Even the godfather of the perpetrators of the center bombing, Sheikh Omar Rahman, was denied admission to the U.S. in March of 92 because he had previously faked an application for entry on a tourist visa. Under current law, he can't be deported until a hearing is held on his application for political asylum. That can take years. Gimmickry. Let's just hope and pray it won't take years to amend our pathetic asylum laws, laws we critically need today to cut the fuse on the bomb of ugly terrorism tossed at innocent U.S. citizens. Ted Kennedy and I would like to hear your face-off topic idea. Send your suggestion on to this radio station. I'm Al Simpson on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Al Simpson. President Clinton missed the July 15th deadline for giving all Americans an accurate estimate of the federal deficit. In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. By law, the president has to issue a mid-session review of the budget, complete with updated information about the deficit, but oops, President Clinton missed his deadline. Sure, Ted, it's common for presidents to miss the deadline by a few days, but keeping it entirely under wraps as Congress debates the entire critical federal budget is outlandish. The president's excuse for breaking every budgetary campaign promise he made last year was based on the fact the deficit was larger than he thought. Now our best info about the deficit is that it may be $50 billion less than the president thought it would be. Aren't these facts that the American people are entitled to have? What gives here, Ted? Inquiring taxpayers need to know before they get hammered over the head with a bill for over $250 billion in needless new taxes. Sentence first, verdict later, eh, pal?
Al, that argument's phony. Year in, year out, administrations have missed the deadline for mid-year reviews. When Ronald Reagan was president, he often missed the deadline. But old Al Simpson never made a peep. So why the peeps now? Obviously, you'd rather talk about the deficit than do something about it. For the first time in 12 years, we have an administration with a credible deficit reduction plan, $500 billion in deficit reduction over the next 5 years. Republicans love to criticize the plan, but you sure run for cover every time we challenge you to produce a specific Republican alternative. You won't make hard choices. You'd rather criticize President Clinton for raising taxes on the rich, even though wealthy Americans got the biggest tax breaks in the Reagan-Bush years of trickle-down economics. Those days are over, Al. The Clinton economic plan's a fair plan. It also happens to be the only plan. Al Simpson and I want our listeners to suggest topics for Face Off. Just contact this station. I'm Ted Kennedy on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. Congress and the administration are revitalizing the idea of community service. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, long after the controversy over the administration's economic plan has faded, another administration initiative that's also nearing final action by Congress, community service, will be providing lasting benefits for the nation. The idea uses federal seed money to encourage citizens of all ages to become involved in helping others and improving their communities. Kindergarten pupils can serve as afternoon companions to brighten the lives of homebound senior citizens. Those who enroll full-time for 1 or 2 years in Local Service Corps can earn credits for education and training. Even now, Local Service Corps are helping clean up flood damage in communities along the Mississippi River. It's the kind of spirit America needs year-round. The Clinton plan encourages that spirit, Al. Give it a chance to work.
Ted, we can certainly give the president an A for spirit, but giving him a D for substance would be more than generous. Ted, to President Clinton, national service means paying swarms of new social workers more than $9 billion for doing things the president hasn't even thought up yet. Quite frankly, that definition of national service is a real slap to those who have performed it in the past. Ted, this plan also has a very big threat to our all-volunteer military. How, you ask? The GI Bill provides $4,800 in education benefits per year, and refusal to complete the service commitment is a crime. Compare that with this national service plan, which provides $5,000 in benefits a year, and any participant can just walk away from it without any penalty. That's right, no obligation. Ted, why go through ROTC when you can get a free education for doing absolutely nothing at all? Just another free handout, courtesy of the beleaguered U.S. taxpayer. Ted Kennedy and I would like to face off on a topic that intrigues you. Send your suggestion on to this radio station. I'm Al Simpson on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Al Simpson. With a Democrat back in the White House, liberal mayors have staked out the Department of Housing and Urban Development, HUD, as their own turf. In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Ted, the president's central theme of reinventing government is sure alive and well at HUD. Now that Democrats run the shop, liberal mayors have moved right in. HUD has become their agency. That's right, you got it. Poor inner-city residents have been reduced to mere pawns once again. Ted, in the 7 months Clinton has been in power, he has gutted funding for the HOPE program, the only federal program to encourage home ownership for public housing citizens. Instead, this administration is trying desperately to increase spending on failed programs like community development block grants, which translated means political payoffs and pork for the big city mayor folks. Ted, HUD was supposed to help empower people by giving them a bigger stake in their own neighborhoods, not to sustain some powerful network of deeply entrenched Democrat mayors. Gad, not the way it was to be.
Al, the nation's cities took it on the chin in the Reagan-Bush years. Republican and Democratic mayors saw federal assistance cut by 50% in those times. President Clinton is turning that around, and even Republican mayors have been joining to support him because it means help for their cities. Obviously, President Clinton's urban plan has Republican support in the country, Al. It's too bad he can't get a little Republican support in the Senate. You forgot one other thing, Al. The Community Development Block Grant Program you attacked was originally proposed by President Nixon. It was hailed by Republicans as reinventing government because it gave cities more control over federal dollars. As a result of guidelines written into law by Congress over the objections of the Reagan administration, those urban aid funds must primarily benefit persons with low or below average income. Republicans may call that pork, Al, but to the urban poor, it's a lifeline. Al Simpson and I want our listeners to suggest topics for Face Off. Just contact this station. I'm Ted Kennedy on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. President Clinton's action on gays in the military is a small step in the right direction. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, the Clinton administration's policy on gay and lesbian Americans in the military, don't ask, don't tell, don't pursue, is a step in the right direction, but only a first step. It is far less than a clear policy of non-discrimination would require. This issue won't be settled until full freedom from discrimination is finally achieved. That's why a broad coalition, from Coretta King to Barry Goldwater, call for a complete end to the ban, Al, and that's still our goal. The real danger now is that anti-civil rights crowd in the Republican Party will dig in their heels again and try to block even the modest progress the administration has called for. Dig in your heels, Al. Say no to bigotry. Don't join the Neanderthals who want to turn back the clock and deny Americans their full rights.
full rights. Ted, the real Neanderthals in this debate are liberals who place social engineering before our military mission. Sacrificing human lives at the expense of providing soldiers with their, quote, full rights is simply not the way the finest fighting force in the world should run its military. Ted, respected Senator Sam Nunn reminded Americans that the U.S. Armed Forces' number one top priority is the mission. The second priority is the unit, and the third priority is the individual. So, Ted, you didn't listen again. The president's compromise has removed the worst aspects of a policy that did penalize and stigmatize certain men and women, but it is truly ironic that the only ones digging their heels now are the always unbending, unyielding gay rights groups who are now accusing President Clinton of betrayal. That is one bizarre and cruel way to say thank you. But as we all know, when you have to deal with bug-eyed zealots, pragmatism is always met with hostility. Too bad. Ted Kennedy and I would like to hear your face-off topic idea. Send your suggestion on to this radio station. I'm Al Simpson on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Al Simpson. President Clinton is apparently trying to change the office of drug czar into the office of drug wimp. In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Ted, as Ronald Reagan used to say, there he goes again. All during the long campaign, candidate Clinton swore on his pledge to fight drug abuse and raise the office of drug czar to a lofty cabinet-level post. But his recent proposal to cut that office of staff from 146 to 25 proves once again that his deeds and his words continue to shoot off in opposite directions. Ted, our very respected new drug czar, Lee Brown, has publicly criticized these cuts and tells us that 25 staff members is simply not adequate to carry out the mandate of his office. When you add those cuts to President Clinton's additional $231 million cuts in drugs treatment money, $131 million cuts in drug-free school zones, another $100 million chop in inner-city drug programs, people won't be guessing anymore whether or not the president really did inhale. They'll know for sure.
Al, what have you been smoking? Imagine a Republican senator opposing spending cuts. You may have got your marching orders wrong today, Al, but you certainly got your priorities right. Still, your facts were a little off on the funds for drug treatment and education. The president didn't make those cuts. The House of Representatives did. I'm working with the Clinton administration to restore them. We're glad to have your help, Al, because they're an essential part of the war on drugs. On the staff reduction in the drug czar's office, you're off base too, Al. In the Bush administration, over 40% of the 109 employees were political appointees, the highest percentage in any federal agency. So when President Clinton fulfilled his campaign promise to streamline the executive branch, he started in the right place. He didn't cut anti-drug professionals. He weeded out the deadwood, Al, and laid the groundwork for a stronger war on drugs. Al Simpson and I want our listeners to suggest topics for Face Off. Just contact the station. I'm Ted Kennedy on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. Thousands of hemophilia patients in the 1980s were accidentally infected with the AIDS virus. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, one of the worst public tragedies in recent times occurred in the 1980s when thousands of citizens suffering from hemophilia were infected with the AIDS virus from transfusions of contaminated blood or injections of blood clotting factor made from contaminated blood. As many as half of the country's 20,000 hemophilia patients are thought to be infected with the virus. Nearly 3,000 have AIDS. The blood supply is safe today, Al, because of sound procedures to identify the virus and screen out tainted blood. But it's far from clear why so much contaminated blood was used for so long. Now Secretary Donna Shalala of the Department of Health and Human Services has called for a long overdue federal investigation of what went wrong. The families of hemophiliacs suspect the worst, Al, and they deserve to know the truth.
Ted, there is no reason why we should not be able to find out all of the remaining pieces to this puzzle of the distribution of the contaminated blood. Hemophiliacs, their families, and all affected by this tragedy are entitled to no less a charge. Find out. Companies involved in this investigation have been accused of knowingly distributing HIV-infected blood products between 82 and 84. That's a serious charge that will be hard to prove since there was no good test to screen blood for HIV in existence during that time. Remember, Ted, in America, these companies, like you and me, are innocent until proven guilty. Yet knowing that the highly respected Institute of Medicine will be conducting the investigation should give the grieving families great comfort. They should do a first-class job, for that is what we have come to expect from them. Ted, this effort won't bring us any closer to finding the elusive cure for AIDS, but it surely may help the victims to better understand and cope with this terrible tragedy. Ted Kennedy and I would like to hear your face-off topic idea. Send your suggestion on to this radio station. I'm Al Simpson on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Al Simpson. The National Education Association is the worm in the apple of American education. In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. The NEA is now America's biggest union, but as the NEA's power has grown, the sad spectacle of education spending increases and deteriorating results has grown right along with it. Ted, why does the NEA doggedly fight voucher and choice proposals that might allow students to escape mediocrity for a better school? They need students around to hold us hostages, that's why. After the Michigan school shut down, NEA's head union boss said he'd close more if the voters didn't cough up more dough on cue. Extortion? Sure, shutdowns aren't effective unless there are students to victimize. No wonder that 22% of NEA teachers, twice the national average, choose to put their own kids in a private school. They know the score. Yes, the NEA stands like the Rock of Gibraltar, right in the way of any individual initiative, innovation, and parental power, the very things our schools need most.
Come clean, Al. What you're really calling for is tax dollars for private schools. That's what your so-called voucher and choice proposals are all about. The NEA is right to oppose them. Our goal is to strengthen public schools, not abandon them. They're already starving for funds. You'd only make their problems worse. There's no evidence that private school choice and private school voucher programs improve public education. A recent Carnegie report even raises questions about the wisdom of giving parents greater choice over which public schools their children attend. It works for some communities, but it does best using schools in the same school district, not for schools in different districts. Even then, it's effective only when it's combined with other school reforms. Public school choice is no panacea. Private school choice is worse. It may be the pet rock of you right-wingers, Al, but it's no answer to the serious problems of public education. Al Simpson and I want our listeners to suggest topics for Face Off. Just contact this station. I'm Ted Kennedy on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. Congress is heading for an unprecedented showdown vote this week on President Clinton's economic plan. Is Senator Al Simpson a lost cause? In a moment, we'll face off. Al, say it ain't so. No matter how responsible the final deficit reduction economic plan that comes before Congress this week, you Republicans seem bent on voting no. The fundamental difference between our approaches, Al, is that Republicans want to put the entire burden of needed deficit reduction on the backs of the middle class. Democrats say the wealthiest should pay their fair share. Republicans would rather cut programs for children, aid to the cities, Medicare for sick senior citizens, instead of raising one penny in taxes on the rich, even though the highest income Americans reap huge and undeserved benefits from the past 12 years of Republican economic policies. You're not the grand old party anymore, Al. GOP stands for Guardians of Privilege.
Ted, the only truth that you just muttered was, "This is Ted Kennedy." That's it. Yet you always tell our gentle listeners that to slay the deficit dragon, even as taxes and spending continue to go up, up and away, you super Democrats continue to babble, all we need to do is get some money from the rich, and we'll all be well. That is hateful class warfare baloney. If you took the Forbes 400 list of the wealthiest people in America and confiscated every single penny of their assets from them, all of it, you'd wind up with $301 billion, enough to run the federal government for about 10 weeks. Ted, Americans do know that Democrats are the ones who are bent on crippling the middle class with a higher income tax, gas tax, Social Security tax, not Republicans. Now, after your broken tax cut promise, the middle class knows that Democrats are the masters of deceit who contrive to play their cruel hoax to this very day. Ted Kennedy and I would like to hear your face-off topic idea. Send your suggestion on to this radio station. I'm Al Simpson on the Mutual Broadcasting System.
This is Ted Kennedy. The nation's about to have a real people's Surgeon General. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, your right-wing colleague spent the past few weeks in a frenzy of attacks against President Clinton's nomination of Joycelyn Elders as the nation's Surgeon General. Well, Dr. Elders has certainly been doing an excellent job defending herself. It's hard to see what all the right-wing fuss is about. She turns out to be a superbly qualified physician, an eloquent public health expert who puts her critics to shame. She proved she understands the health problems of real people, especially children and the poor. She displayed an extraordinary talent for telling it like it is. Her critics are desperately trying to regroup and come up with new attacks because the old ones all fizzled. Sure, she's outspoken, Al, but so are you. Say you'll support her, Al, or at least say you won't join any filibuster against her.
Ted, you used the term frenzy of attacks. No lectures, please. Recall your part in sullying the good names of fine Republican nominees like Judge Bork, Judge Thomas, Judge Reiskamp, and many others. Kind of gives you zero credibility on how to properly treat nominees. But Ted, even being a pro-choice Republican, I found many of Joycelyn Elders' public remarks to be most disturbing and very divisive. Today in America, there exists a deep, anguishing divide on the issue of abortion. And for Dr. Elders to tell pro-life groups to, quote, get over their love affair with the fetus is another smash of a sledgehammer into that wedge. Ted, the list of controversies about Dr. Elders is long indeed, and her opinions appear to fall a ways left of the mainstream, but she surely did deserve the chance to respond, and that's why we hold hearings. But always remember what you and your party did to some splendid reputations. Shame. Republicans won't ever repeat that pattern of abuse. Ted Kennedy and I would like to face off on a topic that intrigues you. Send your suggestion on to this radio station. I'm Al Simpson on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Al Simpson. Democrats love to bury small businesses, and the Clinton tax plan hands them the shovel. In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Ted, when Democrats and Republicans refer to small business, it is as if they were both speaking of a beloved long-lost relative. But when the Dr. Jekylls in the Democrat Party are all done talking, they turn into Mr. Hyde and seek to ravage terror on small businesses. Ted, the most recent transformation into Mr. Hyde comes in the form of the gruesome tax package. 80% of those greedy rich people the president wants to choke are not rich people at all. There are small businesses. And this Democrat plan effectively raises taxes on small businesses from 31% to 42%. Ted, the president claims this will hit only 4% of these businesses, but that is utter nonsense. That figure is only accurate if you count every person who files a Schedule C. When you consider the businesses that actually employ people, the tax they are about to pay will be very real indeed.
Al, those hit-and-run tactics and distortions won't work. It's time to put away your smoke and mirrors machine. The wealthy tycoons you're trying to protect can't hide behind a small business smokescreen. They'll finally pay their fair share of taxes under the Clinton economic plan. The vast majority of small businesses won't be affected by higher tax rates. Even the Wall Street Journal abandoned you on this issue, Al. They're the ones who dug up the fact that only the wealthiest 4% of the 6.9 million small business owners in the country will pay the higher taxes in the president's plan. The wealthiest 4%, Al. We're talking about families with incomes over $140,000 a year. They got massive tax breaks in the Reagan and Bush years. There's nothing wrong with asking them to pay their fair share of taxes now. You love to shed crocodile tears, Al, but for fat cats like that? Al Simpson and I want our listeners to suggest topics for Face Off. Just contact this station. I'm Ted Kennedy on the Mutual Broadcasting System.
This is Al Simpson. BTU tax may be in death throes, but liberals have an alternative just as bad, the gas tax. In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Ted, just when it looked as if we might get stuck with the president's proposed BTU tax, you scrambled to exempt home heating fuel to ease the pain on your own constituents. But Plan B, the gas tax, proves you aren't above using your Senate majority to push for a crippling gas tax that sticks it to people in rural America, people like my constituents, who don't have the option of taking mass transit. People in Wyoming drive long distances to work or just to get to the grocery. Believe me, Ted, gasoline is not a discretionary cost for real, live, working rural Americans. Is there a perfectly fair tax out there? I doubt it. But it wouldn't be such a terrible dilemma if people weren't overtaxed to begin with. Yet another case of Eastern liberals leaving hard-working rural folks to eat their exhaust. No one ever tells the taxpayers to fill it up as much as you do, Ted. Shame.
Al, I agree. The BTU tax was better. Its broad base made it fairer to all energy users. But the proposal was extremely complex. People didn't understand it. I doubt you could even tell me what a BTU is, Al. Special interest lobbyists took advantage of that confusion. They carved out major exemptions for industries and left the public holding the bag. The BTU tax became so riddled with loopholes that it sank of its own weight. The gasoline tax was the only realistic alternative to help meet the target for deficit reduction. To ease the burden, a larger tax break, the earned income tax credit, was proposed for low and middle income families. How soon you forget, Al. In 1990, you supported a gas tax increase, twice as large as the current proposal. The only difference is you had a Republican president then. You were trying to help, Al, not a Democratic president you're trying to obstruct. Al Simpson and I want to face off on topics our listeners suggest. Just contact the station. I'm Ted Kennedy on the Mutual Broadcasting System.